Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Podfic Pals. This is the next installment of our Advent series leading up to the holidays. I'm Tabby, and I'll be reading Tis the Damn Season by Zany Scaramouche on Tumblr and Zany underscore Scaramouche on AO3. It was written for the 2021 1D Christmas Fest. It's 2,895 words. The pairing is Harry Styles and Louis Tomlinson. And some of the tags include Christmas, angst, friends with benefits, exes to lovers, exes with benefits, kinda, famous Harry, and cabin. For those of you who may be listening in public or without headphones, warnings for mentions of intimate acts and use of explicit language. The summary reads, "The door will open and he'll smile wide and genuine at the people who raised him. His teary-eyed mother and rosy-faced stepfather. He won't think about the cabin in the woods again until next December." It started too long ago to remember. Some point when they were teens, knobby-kneed and clumsy-handed. Graduation hit. One boy left and one stayed. The rest doesn't quite matter, does it? Because they grew up and became new people, shinier and happier. Or it doesn't until that first December, when they meet eyes over the shoulders of three grocery clerks. Now Harry doesn't tell anyone in the LA crowd what he's doing for the holidays. He's got plans, he says, don't you worry. Years of no reply, and his mother doesn't bother to ask anymore. Through snow-painted evergreens, he drives over a road more resembling a trail. Swaying in his seat as the tires dip and roll over roots, untouched snow crunches as he eases the rented car into the space next to a parked truck older than he is. There's a foot of snow on the hood. The faded brass knob of the cabin door turns easily under his palm, just like every door he ever tried to open as a child in a small town. Warmth wafts over him like a blanket full of musk and pine. Tossed over the back of the sofa is a familiar quilt his fingers long to touch. He makes it a few steps before he catches himself, fingers curling into his palm. Boots stomp in behind him. A brisk wind from the open door swirls in flecks of snow and the sweet scent of raw wood. A man stands in the doorway, shaking snow from his boots. He peels his hood back and pats down a messy fringe. The sides are longer now, no longer cropped like they were last year. "Help with the firewood, would ya?" "Yeah," Harry says, coat still on. That's how it goes. The firewood gets brought in and stacked in a neat pile they'll steadily work through. There's a load of groceries in the back of the rented car to fill the fridge Harry knew would be empty of everything but butter. He'll make a few types of bread while he's here, make the place smell like a proper bakery before he pops them in the freezer. He's never seen them being eaten, but every year the freezer is empty again, and no one stops him when he starts pulling out the flour. The first time he did this, it had been to fill the silence. Now it's just habit. Maybe that's all this whole thing is. When the dough sits covered on the counter, Louis picks up an axe at the top of the handle. Harry follows. He doesn't tell Louis where he's been or who he's been with. It takes an hour of high steps and boots compacting snow, of blindly following Louis' turned back without a word, trusting him not to get them lost until they find a tree they like well enough. They know by now not to get one too much taller than Harry, the trunk no thicker than Louis is sideways. They've got to carry the damn thing after all. The first swing of the axe makes the branches tremble. It takes a fair few more before the tree cracks and groans and snaps off. They lift either end and trudge back to the cabin in a light whirl of snowflakes, thickening in preparation for their nighttime descent. Dusk is coming in, deep blue and indigo hues a backdrop for the warm light of the cabin they march towards. With practiced ease, they get the tree in and up in front of the sofa with small muttered words and grunts. There's a shitty box of multicolored string lights that should have stopped working years ago. Harry pulls it off a dusty shelf in the loft, and miraculously they still turn on. Woven amongst pine needles, the lights sparkle, and he takes a step back from the tree with melting snow in his hair and his boots still on. Christmas has started then. It's all a rather done deal. He wipes the back of his hand over his frozen nose. He'll be 26 before he knows what to do about it. In 3 days, he'll get back in the rented car and reverse out of the long drive with one hand on the wheel and the other tossed over the back of the passenger seat. He'll drive 2 hours into his hometown and pull into the very same driveway he learned how to ride a bike on. He'll knock on the door because he never has his damn keys. He'll stomp his feet on the mat and watch his breath fog the cold air, and he'll think about how 4 hours ago he was in the warmest bed he's ever known, sleeping half the day away. The door will open and he'll smile, wide and genuine, at the people who raised him, his teary-eyed mother and rosy-faced stepfather. He won't think about the cabin in the woods again until next December. It started when they were young. "Thanks, babe," Harry hums at 24, while taking the offered steaming mug, curled on a couch with a handmade quilt. He holds the mug steady with two hands as a heavy body joins him, their legs tangling and Louis's cheek resting on his chest. The flickering orange glow of the fire dances over his eyelids as they close to enjoy the first sip. He settles deep into the cushions, every inch of his body as soft as melting chocolate. "What?" he asks, when his eyes open gently to find Louis staring. "There's a real one," he pokes Harry's cheek. "First real smile." Harry scrunches his face, taking another sip of tea to hide how much it scares him, how easily, how instantly Louis knows him. He can't shake it, so instead he fumbles to put down the mug and lean forward to capture Louis in a thorough kiss. His tea has gone cold by the time he reaches for it again. Louis always leans in the doorway when Harry leaves. The last kiss they shared at 23, Louis's mouth tasted like toothpaste and cigarettes and tea and the candy he must have stashed somewhere. Rental keys swinging around his finger in a nervous habit, Harry says, "I'm staying at my parents' house," like he always does, and he's never known why. It's a funny thing, driving backwards, like being put in rewind just to do the same thing over again. At 25, he's too young to feel so old when the snow was falling with silent grace in the morning. He watches Louis breathe in the soft patterns of sleep. Pads of his fingertips sweep over the aching bruises sucked into his neck. His back stings with claw marks. A tender soreness radiates within. Louis sleeps on. "Fuck, don't fucking stop," he'd panted in the thick of the night when the cabin was heavy with ember heat. Louis's nails clawed into the meat of his back deep. In the soft white glow of morning snow through the window, Louis's fringe is a mess. Harry doesn't bother fixing it for him. His fingers rather twitch with the want to muss it further. They're a mess. Harry never looks back when he reverses down the drive. One hand on the wheel, one on the passenger headrest, and both eyes looking through the back window. He doesn't know what Louis does. If he watches until he's out of sight, maybe longer. Maybe listens until the crunching snow under four wheels is gone and he's truly alone again. Maybe he turns around and slams the door. Maybe he goes and gets an axe to cut wood to replace what they used. "I'm always leaving," Harry had muttered into Louis's sweaty skin, their hearts still racing and chest heaving. Louis's fingers tangled in his hair, like they're writing a melody on each strand. They didn't make it to the bed. They're sprawled on the thick carpet in front of the fire, and the thin quilt from the sofa that could never cover enough to make them modest. Louis's voice was a barely decipherable rough rumble. "Suppose we could call it even." Harry frowned. He stroked a hand over his own breast, pressing as though he could stop the ache beneath his ribcage. Now he looks across the room, grown cold. The fire went out sometime in the night, leaving everything beyond the cover of their small safe harbor a frozen wasteland. Half the pile of wood is gone from beside the fireplace. The axe is propped beside it, ready to make more. A few quick chops and it'll be like Harry was never there at all. On the last morning together, Christmas morning, Harry's always the first to get up. He wasn't the first to leave. Knobby-kneed and clumsy-handed and broken-hearted, Harry stood on the doorstep of the first house he ever lived in, socked feet awkward as Louis stood on the stairs with tears in his eyes. He wanted him to turn left, a road less traveled, neither of them sure of where it would lead. With all the wisdom of his 19 years, sheltered in a small town, Harry felt pressured to do the right thing. Louis left for college. Harry stayed. Finished his high school diploma, couldn't choose a university to apply for, and with the unbearable weight of his regret, he made the first reckless decision of his life a few months too late. A talent show, a big break, a flight to LA. Staring himself in the mirror, saying, "Be thankful, be thankful, be fucking thankful for all that you've got." He still felt empty. The holidays had him scrambling for things to feel like normal again, in a way they never would. He didn't know Louis came back to town until he was enlined by cranberries his sister forgot. Three tills over, with a bag of half-squished dinner rolls, was Louis, a little more tired and a little bit older. Harry was only in town for 3 days. A poem was recited when Harry graduated. There'd been an empty chair in the row of students he spent too much time not looking at. "And that has made all the difference," the valedictorian finished. Hats flew into the air and fell like a blizzard. Harry stood, frozen. His mom never did get cranberries. It was the first Christmas morning of his life he didn't spend with his family. They don't set his seat at the table for breakfast anymore. Every time he tells his personal assistant the rented car needs to be lifted with winter tires, he can see the question in their eyes. He's from a small town in the middle of flat fields and a few hills. They don't know he needs them to make it up and down a drive just off an old logging road. They don't know how the windshield fogs in the cold. When they stand inside the cabin for their last kiss, snowflakes drifting in through the open door, and a single step away from going a whole year before their next kiss, and hug, and fuck, and hot cup of tea on the sofa, Harry never asks him to wait. Louis never asks him to stay. If someone had asked if 22-year-old Harry missed something about Louis, if he had to choose one thing he missed, it would have been Louis's laugh. Each one got Harry a step closer to erasing the memory of Louis's devastated face shivering on a doorstep. He never brings the groceries in when he enters the cabin. There's always a stutter in his heartbeat when he takes the first step in, surrounded by logged walls and waiting to be noticed like an ill-timed apparition. He stands in the middle of the room and looks at the empty space where a tree will go before sundown. "Gonna catch your death," Louis said at 21 when he stomped in behind him, knocking snow from his shoes and axe in his comfortable grip. The sky is dark. It's never been this late when Harry's arrived before, but it was light out when he parked. He's 26, and there aren't any groceries in the back of his car. Louis hovers in the doorway. He's never opened it before. Maybe he can feel it. Maybe he knows. It's even then. That's what he'd said last time. They can call it even. So what's it all about anymore? What is this, if not Harry trying to assuage his guilt over staying by leaving? What is it, if not Louis perpetually stuck in a place he left? Harry's been sitting in a car that reeks of cleaning supplies and strangers, his gaze hooked to the mud on Louis's truck tires. Used, familiar, worn. Harry's never even been in a cab. He stands in the snow on a doorstep that's always meant goodbye. He shrugs with his hands shoved deep in his pockets. "We could go for a drive." Louis's eyes are slow to consider the parked car, then the truck, then find their way back to Harry. Harry's so tired is the thing. He is tired of 7 years spent living for a single weekend. He's tired of hating Christmas morning and the route that leads out of the woods to his hometown. "Could do," Louis says tightly. Maybe he didn't want to say it. Maybe he didn't want to be heard. Doesn't quite matter. He has done. Was done. 7 years. This kiss on the doorstep is the first they've had that doesn't mean goodbye. It's awkward. Misjudged space and too much eagerness. They adjust to do better, to find a rhythm they know, one they have made with each passing year until it became ingrained. Louis tugs on the middle of Harry's jacket. Let's go tomorrow, Haz. Your fingers are bloody freezing. Reckon they're about to fall off. Harry lets himself be pulled into the cabin. He ducks in for another kiss in response, kicking the door shut behind him. Louis, he manages between kisses, when he steals time to breathe. Louis, I'm so... Don't. Louis cuts him off with a fierce press of his lips. Tomorrow, Hazza. Harry's arms wrap around Louis's waist, and he tucks his face into the crook of his neck to mumble, we can go anywhere. We could just ride around. Don't be stupid. Louis's hand strokes through Harry's hair and rests cupped around his neck. He whispers into his ear, tomorrow we'll go home. The second time Harry arrived on an early December afternoon, he'd been 20 and barely remembered where the turnoff for the cabin built in the middle of nowhere was. He'd shown up with a few granola bars and a hastily packed duffel. He was hoping Louis wouldn't see if he didn't let him in. Louis never did open the door. Harry did. The same brass knob that would turn so easily for years to come, always making it seem impossibly simple to enter Louis's life. He tried not to feel scared about what he might find. Louis didn't have to wait. They hadn't talked since he left the year before. Harry very well could have broken his own heart just by thinking an unlocked door meant he was welcome. I'll be yours for the weekend, he'd said the second he saw the back of Louis's head, only meaning the first three words and saying the last three to cover it up. In a crouch on the rug, Louis slowly stoked the fire. He looked to the flames like they held something Harry would never see. Maybe he saw what would have happened if Harry had gone left, had left. Maybe it was what would have happened if Louis stayed right next to him. At the time, it ached. "'Tis the damn season," Louis sighed, and threw a log on the fire. It answered with a crackling burst of flame. After 7 years of reversing out of the cabin's driveway, Harry sits in the passenger side of a truck bench, so small his thigh brushes Louis's every time he shifts gear. He had to slam the door shut twice, and he still doesn't trust it. Louis's hand on his thigh is a reassuring anchor. You gotta reverse on your way in, Louis says, like he's sharing a secret bit of knowledge. Like Harry didn't need the excuse to face the past for a few seconds longer every year. When he needed nothing more than to forget LA and the pressures of expectations there, to delay the guilt of seeing a family that loved him more than he had capacity to deal with, he needed to keep his eyes on something so he didn't think of what made Louis so tired. So he didn't think of where or how or who Louis would spend his next year on. Harry weaves his fingers with Louis's on his thigh. It's all the same but different. Louis isn't at the end of a road. He's on it with him in a shitty truck with balding tires. The roots bump them this way and that. The pads of his fingers dig deep to gain stability from the hand in his. Louis squeezes back. This was Tis the Damn Season by Zany Scaramouche on Tumblr and Zany_Scaramouche on AO3. If you'd like to find this fic and comment on it, you can do so through the links on our Tumblr, podfic-pals.tumblr.com, or our A3, podfic_pals. I hope you enjoyed this episode and all that we still have to come for the holiday season.